Good morning. I'm Christopher Purdy. Delighted to welcome you all to today's edition of All Sides Weekend. Today, we're going to talk about the arts in Central Ohio during these, what they call the dog days of summer. It's a big dog. It's a sweaty dog right now. It is hot out there. It will be for a while. But, you know, the arts don't stop anymore. They don't wait for air conditioning. We have al fresco performances. Later in this broadcast, we'll be joined by David Donsmeyer and Janet Chen from the Pro Musica Chamber Orchestra, whose outdoor season of concerts began last night in the Topiary Garden at the newly refurbished Columbus Library downtown. Those concerts will continue through the weekend. For now, we are all about family, here on All Sides Weekend. Stephen Anderson is here. He is the artistic director of CATCO, and he is the maven of everything theater in the arts, of everything beautiful in Central Ohio. Haven't seen Stephen for a while. Stop making faces. It's radio. Welcome back.
Thank you, Christopher.
Timothy Veach is here. Tim is the founder and artistic director of the Columbus Dance Theater, and he has brought a guest.
I did. Well, yes, this young man next to me is a member of our boys program at Columbus Dance Theater. His name is Joseph Finkley, and he's been a student at CDT since he was six. He's 14, and he just got back from Chicago, where he was participating in the Joffrey Ballet's summer intensive program. We had a lot of students that went away to various places around the country, and he's just returned. So,
and Joseph is best loved locally as the Wolf in Peter and the Wolf, as I understand. Is that correct? That's one of your roles.
Sir.
Yes, and you're going to get closer to the mic, aren't you, to talk to us?
Yes, right. Sir.
Very good. Thank you very much. Stephen Anderson, I haven't seen you for a while, so I want to catch up with what's going on with CATCO, what's going on with theater, what your plans are as we begin, I guess, full speed ahead in the fall. What's up? What's to look forward?
Well, as you said, we never stop. Our production of Ring of Fire, which was extended for a week here, then went on to Porthouse on the Blossom Music Center grounds, and we were there for 3 weeks. And so that's the beginning of a relationship with Kent State University that we're very excited about. Tonight is first rehearsal for Act of God, it's not so much a family show. God comes back and explains that he's revised the Ten Commandments, and he has plenty to say about some of our political candidates as well.
Oh, dear.
Let's not quite go there, but anyway.
I didn't mention now, names.
Is that the show that was on Broadway last year with Sheldon? It's still there. With Sheldon Cooper was in it,
Jim Parsons, and then Sean Hayes has been doing it, and it's been at the Booth. I may have closed now, but
It got reviews of God. Himself reviewed it. You couldn't do better than that. Yeah. So who's performing? Who's performing
actually,
it with you?
Actually, Timothy Elliott has come in. Tim was in one of our first companies for the Phoenix before the merger. And Tim is just a funny guy. I mean, in the same way that Jim Parsons is – he doesn't act funny. He just is odd and funny. And Tim is actually staying with me, and I know just exactly how funny and odd he is. I hope he's listening.
I'll keep you laughing. Well, now, how do you direct somebody who is naturally funny and odd when you have a
stay
text?
Out of the way.
Just leave him alone.
You just stay out of the way. And with Tim, he started when he got to town. He took the bus in from the airport and made friends with the driver of the bus. And there's this interview that'll be on Facebook in a couple of days of him and the bus driver. So.
Well, you should have a bus driver's night at CATCO.
Yeah, I think so.
That'd be fantastic.
I think that's
yes.
a great idea.
Yes. If you'd like to get in the conversation or know more about what's going on in the arts in Central Ohio as we proceed through the summer and ahead, and as Tim Veach keeps diddling with his phone.
I'm getting out my information.
Yes, 614-292-8513, or you can send an email to allsides@wosu.org. I don't know where you go when you begin with Act of God, but there we are. Mm-hmm. What else do you have coming up?
Well, then I just finished with callbacks last night for Gross Indecency, the Moishas.
You just don't fool around with these family shows, do you?
Really? No. Well, it's the story of Oscar Wilde and his trials. Moishas Kaufman did it about 10 years ago, but it was just recently banned in Russia. Putin didn't want it to be performed in Russia, and it's a fascinating play. And a little bit of meat after the elections. Before the elections, nobody wants to think.
Before the elections, you have Act of God with the Ten Commandments being revised, and after the elections, you have Oscar Wilde. I love CATCO.
Well, then we go on to Sex with Strangers. So, you know, it's like, I was actually speaking with a sponsor, and I said, would you like would you like gross indecency or sex with strangers? And she said, I've never been asked that question before.
And here's my checkbook.
Really? Yeah, there you go.
Tim Veach, one of the things that that you do that gets a lot of admiration, and now I understand your idea is being stolen, is your project.
I wouldn't call it stolen. I would call it expanded.
Is your training program for boys, of which we have a grown man here, Mr.
Quite
Finkel.
Grown,
but I'm
yes.
just saying, what is that program? Tell me about that, how that began and where it is now.
Well, a number of years ago, Columbus Dance Theater made a commitment to the training of young men in the region in ballet. I was trying to kind of analyze and think about outreach. And in dance, I would say that men in dance are really the underserved, underrepresented population. And that it's not something you automatically think to put your son into. You know, everyone, you know, let's sign Johnny up for baseball. You don't think, I'm signing Johnny up for ballet. Can't wait for that. You know, mm-hmm. we've been waiting for decades. So that isn't the default. And also, there, you know, there's some social stereotypes and things like that go along with that. And we also decided to remove some economic barriers to that and just initiate this program. And it really took off, and it's been very successful.
What do you do? Where do you go here in Central Ohio? What goes on with this program?
Well, we have a whole training program for young men and women at Columbus Dance Theater. Of course, we have wonderful girls in our school. And it begins at a young age. They can come in. Well, we have kids as young as 3. The boys program doesn't start till about 5 or 6. And then they go through a series of levels. But we now have enough guys that we've got kids in boys in every level of the program. And then a number of them are now, you know, sort of teenage age, and they have gone on to, we just had 2 boys placed at Juilliard for the summer program. There are 2 of only 22 boys from the whole world that were accepted into that program. Joe just got back from the Joffrey Ballet in Chicago. We had another boy with full scholarship at Houston Ballet, another boy who was at Interlochen. I mean, they're all over, as well as our young women in the program.
Okay, stop bragging. Joe, let's talk about Joe.
I can't help bragging, great.
Let's talk to Joe. Joe, I understand you were 6 years old when you began study.
Yes, sir.
What brought you to ballet at that age, besides your parents?
Well, my parents didn't really have anything to do with it at I mean, that much.
They drove you.
I watched the original movie of Billy Elliot when I was around 5 years old, which is not really that great of a movie to watch when you're 5 years old. but I got inspired because he loved to dance, and I always used to dance to, like, Christina Aguilera in my basement, just messing around. And my mom, she contacted Tim, and he just said, bring him in for a dance class, and I guess I just stuck with it.
And mom and dad, if you're listening, those of us who are parents are well aware that you're paying the bills as well as driving the car back and forth. So point taken there. So when you – it's one thing to dance around in your basement to Christina Aguilera, but it's something else to go to a ballet class that's something more formal, more structured, more disciplined. How did you take to that your first time? Did you want to do what he said, or did you want to do what you wanted to do?
Well, I can't wait for this answer.
Every kid that age doesn't want to listen, so, and doesn't want to have that much discipline to follow or anything like that. And I guess I just had to learn to love it, which I love it, and it's been great for me, and I'm going to keep sticking with it.
What is your life like now as a young man who is committed to studying dance and performing? Because that is an enormously demanding schedule. Where's all the time going? How do you manage that with school, with friends, with everything else?
Well, school majority has to come first.
That's what they make you say. All right.
Yes.
Okay. Yeah.
Good answer.
Good answer.
Dance is my passion, and that's not going to stop being my passion. And it's kind of been hard growing up being a ballet dancer when you're a boy, but you have to stick with that if it's what you love. Just like somebody likes football, that's what they love. They have to stick with it.
Have your friends in school, for example, seen you dance?
Some of them, not all of them. I usually don't throw that out there.
No, but have they gone to your performances or had or,
a couple of my yeah. friends? Yes, a couple of my close friends have gone.
I think they'll all know now.
Well, here's what I'll guarantee you: is they won't tell you this to your face, but they will be flipped over impressed. I mean, I'm just saying that they'll yeah. they'll never let you know that, but they will be envious and impressed. And trust me, keep dancing.
Thank you.
That's terrific. So, what do you think? What are you looking to do in the future?
I am looking to go to college as a dance major, and I am going to audition for companies. I'm going to try to audition for the Joffrey Ballet and ABT. And as for the upcoming years, I'm going to keep going to summer programs so the companies know who I am and are familiar with my name, so they know who to look for.
It's wonderful to meet someone 14 years old who knows what it is to have a passion for something.
It's incredible.
I don't mean to be patronizing to you, but I'm just saying at that age, it's really, that's a wonderful thing.
I think for any person, for any young person, if they can latch on to something that is their passion, their dream, their energy, you know, that it does everything. It helps them to go past all the natural obstacles that occur in anyone's life, you know, and particularly when you're a young person and you're, you know, learning about life and growing and developing and thinking, if you've got something that you know is yours and that you love and you're good at, wow, that will just catapult you through so much.
Where do you find the students for this program?
You know, they find us, which is pretty fantastic. I mean, I think the program now has grown in size to the extent that people kind of know, oh, yeah, you got a son who wants to dance, he should go to Columbus Dance Theater. So
it's a good brand. You branded yourself in
that way. Nice in that way. And we're continuing to do outreach work. And I was just saying, I think we're going to go to some schools and you know, do some outreach there in terms of developing the program. But the thing that's nice, too, about the success of these guys is it has changed things dramatically for the girls in the school in terms of their training. We offer pas de deux classes, and we have pas de deux means dance for two, and it's a partnering class. And so a lot of times in a ballet program, you'll have one boy and there'll be 25 girls.
Yum.
And well, you lucky guy, but that's awfully difficult on that guy if he's supposed to pick them all up in class every day. So, but if you've got 10 guys and 10 girls, wow, you've got a real pas de deux class. And so we are able to do that for our young women in the school, and they get a lot of experience that many girls don't get in a ballet program.
Hold that thought. We're going to come back in just a moment and continue our conversation with Stephen Anderson, the artistic director of CATCO. I want to know how your seasons are being programmed, because you've tantalized us with a couple of titles right now. And Tim Veach from the Columbus Dance Theater and Joseph Finkley, prima dancer of the Columbus Dance Theater. We will be right back. Don't go away. And have you ever wondered why ballet dancers grunt so much? No, we have not, actually. But let's continue the conversation with Tim Veach of the Columbus Dance Theater. Dancer Joseph Finkley is here, and Stephen Anderson, who is the artistic director of CATCO. Now, Stephen, I have to ask you, how do you choose the plays you put on? Because, again, and I want you to review the titles you already gave us and give us, again, a little précis of your coming season, because I don't know how you can play to an empty seat, and usually you don't. So something's loving it. And who are you programming this for?
Well, the answer to that is the community, and we've separated things out. I mean, in this world, the most important resource people have is time. They don't really want to commit to seven evenings in the theater. So what we've done is sort of tiered things. There's a drama season. There's an entertainment season. You of course, come to see everything, and some people continue to do that. But that's been our sort of answer to how do you keep people engaged in the family of CATCO and yet be respectful of the amount of time they have. We're also doing a collaboration with Kappa, the Ohio State University, and the Abbey Theater in Plow in the Stars. It'll be in the month of October. It's a, I can't emphasize enough. I can't emphasize enough how important that is. It's on the. This is the centenary year of the Irish Uprising, 1916, and this is Sean O'Casey's play about the Irish Uprising, and I don't think it's a spoiler alert to say that almost everybody dies. Yeah. My board said, "What's this play about?" And I said, "Well, it's kind of sad, but at any rate, as an historical piece and as a fascinating piece of theater, and to have the Abbey Theater here,
it's on its
rise again.
The Abbey Theater they have had ups and downs in Dublin in the last 50 years at least. How is this collaboration coming about, and where were you and Catco? Catco being, by the way, the Contemporary American Theater Company, but known as Catco to everybody. Yeah. You're in the Rife Center downtown most of the time
your
performances. Talk about that collaboration and how that
It's just the beginning of a number of those sorts of opportunities for Central Ohio to be a part of it. Of course, what you've got in Bill Connor and I are two people who go, I don't know. What would happen if we did this? We're going out to LA to look at a project that would be very exciting for this community. So we have a lot of homegrown exciting things, but it's important, I think, also to cross-pollinate with what's happening in the other major cities. I mean, when Joseph comes back here after his stint at the Joffrey, he's going to have lots to share with his colleagues. And that is an important part, I think, of what happens. We're also doing a new play by Herb Brown about the relationship between Henry Ford and his son Edsel called Henry Ford's Model E. And it's Herb is a fascinating playwright and gets more and more
is
nuanced.
He the judge?
He was a judge, as a matter of fact.
Right.
He's had a fascinating career because he has always followed his passion. And that's been, you know, he was a Supreme Court judge. He was a mystery novelist and then most recently a playwright. And we did his Final Table a couple of years ago.
That's about the presidency.
Right.
Yes.
And Purgatory. So, and then we'll also be doing Baskervilles, which is the five-person show by Ken Ludwig, the great comic writer of our time.
Lend Me a Tenor, right?
And so he's done this five-person Sherlock Holmes mystery about the Hound of the Baskervilles. And then we're closing with I Do with Joe Bishara and Liz Wheeler, our own couple.
Joe will be performing.
As well as his wife, Liz.
Yes.
So
After the baby. The baby's not here yet.
No, the baby's in October.
October, that's what I thought.
I'm shooting for my birthday, but they tell me that they don't really have any opportunity to make
that
decision.
Can't totally control that.
Slip something in her drink, she'll be fine. I Do is a show that was written for Mary Martin.
And
Robert Preston. Ran on Broadway in the 60s. Was a big hit as long as they did it.
Yeah.
And now it's back. Can you tell? It's the Four Poster, isn't it?
Yeah, it was a musical adaptation of the Four Poster, which is a French play. And it's about the marriage of this couple from the time that they're newlyweds till they're, you know, my cup runneth over, among other things. It's a real entertaining, great way to finish the season.
Have you been doing a number of musicals lately?
We have done. We usually try to do at least one. We've been doing those pop-up cabarets. You never know what might happen with those two. Those are very opportunistic. We find a spot and say, okay, we could do something there. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm a little attention deficit, and so it's really great for me to have the opportunity to say, okay, what if we, which is my favorite three words.
Well, you mentioned Bill Connor earlier, who is the chief executive officer at Catco, and you and he are the two people who don't know the word no, or we can't, or we won't. You don't know that doesn't.
It's kind of true.
It's wonderful for the community that the two of you are like that.
Well, you know, it's funny because I just moved downtown, and so now I live about a block and a half from him.
And
we both. But the same car, so it's like people are mistaking us for each other.
We'll leave that alone. You're listening to All Sides Weekend on 89.7 NPR News. I'm Christopher Purdy. Our guest today, Tim Veach, who is the artistic director of the Columbus Dance Theater. Joseph Finkley, who was a dancer with the Columbus Dance Theater and is on his way to great things with the Joffrey, with Juilliard, with ABT, with the New York City Ballet. We're going to be paying attention to Joseph.
Thank you.
Stephen Anderson, who is the artistic director of Catco. One thing I really wanted to ask you, Stephen, that I don't think we've discussed with you enough. I want to talk about your company, your actors, and your people who do the work that we don't see, who do the lights and who do the sound and who do all the kind of maybe non-sexy work that you can't do the shows without. Mm-hmm. Could you talk a bit about some of your key people? Well, you mentioned Joe and Liz.
But yeah, but there's a rich sort of pool of designers and of lighting designers and scenic designers and costume designers that we work with. And as time goes on, there's more and more they can sustain themselves on that kind of design work as opposed to doing it on the side, which is very exciting about Columbus as Columbus grows. We also support most of the theater companies with carpentry and construction
right.
scenery,
right.
Which we do at the Rife Center. And then, of course, we manage for the City of Columbus Recreation and Parks, the Columbus Performing Arts Center, or CPAC, as it's called, which is the old Players Theater on Franklin Avenue, right next to, in fact, the Topiary Garden and the new library.
That's a beautiful facility that I hadn't seen enough of. Yeah. What I knew was the old Players Theater. Yeah. That's a really beautiful facility.
It is. We moved our Catcoo's Kids programming there because it's meant to be a performing space for kids. But it's also an incubator for a lot of smaller companies. There's constant movement there.
And where do you get your actors?
We do regional auditions, and I go to see a lot of theater because enjoy going to see a lot of theater because whether I think it's good or bad or indifferent, it gives me the opportunity to use that muscle that is criticism, as an artistic community, need to use that muscle because we're only going to be as good as we are critically, so that we can say, I loved this. Mm-hmm. Was that such a great choice? It didn't work for me. How did people respond to that? If we can get to a place of honesty about that, then we as a community will be richer. So just because somebody says they're doing something, we need our audiences to develop a critical sense as well, because there's an awful lot of cheerleading that goes on that really ought to be, in fact, discussion. That's what the arts are meant to be, is to see something that provokes you to say something.
Right.
And we just don't see enough of that.
Well, I think that I've noticed the same thing. Well, there's not enough reaction from the audience. People sit, they applaud, they go, it's very nice, and they leave. Maybe they come back, maybe they don't. But it's not a continuing conversation, right. Which I think is what any kind of performing arts or visual, any kind of stimuli like that is necessary. We have an email from Pat. This is for Tim Veach, but it's for both of you. Pat has a lot of money to give away. I'll give you her phone number.
Give me that email.
Tim Veach has worked so hard for years to sustain and build Columbus Dance Theater. If money was no object, what would he love to do with dance in the future?
If money was no object.
And I'll let both of you answer
goodness
that.
Me, oh my.
Give it all to Joseph so we can
Columbus Dance Theater has an incredible company of beautiful dancers, some of whom have danced with me for 10 years. Shout out to Seth Wilson. And I would love to support my artists in a way where they're making the same kind of money that a banker makes. Like if money was no option, no object. I mean, we don't even talk about that. Like what can we do to support artists? That's a big part of my mission. And so that would be structurally what would be in place. I'd love an incredible facility in Columbus that was all-inclusive, like Lincoln Center, where we all would be together downtown, and we'd all have space, and we'd all be thriving and
together. You'd all fight and hate each other.
No, I think it would be pretty cool. So since we're doing the money is no object thing, so space and resources together for an interactive, dynamic arts community feeding off of each other. And that would be my dream.
And Stephen Anderson, Pat has money for you too. What if money's no object? What kind of a theater?
Well,
would
first
you
of all,
be?
Thank you, Pat.
Thank you, Pat.
I think we continue on doing what we're doing and growing. Because I mean, the reason for the merger 6 years ago, and it's been 6 years ago, you can hardly believe that.
Yeah, my goodness.
Was to create sustainability, and now we've created sustainability, and we're looking aspirationally as Tim continues to do. Not that. Fertilizing the field a little bit wouldn't be great, but the great thing I think about this community is that it has continued to take what it had and do great things with it. You know, when you hear what Tim is talking about, when we know what Janet and David will be talking about
right.
in a few minutes, when you see the ways in which, you know, the new wing at the museum,
the
gorgeous, and the library's addition. Things are happening here. This is a great place to live.
I can see a cultural vibrancy in this city in the last 3 years. I'm talking like it's been steadily growing, but I would say there's this 3-year like boom that's going on, and it's going on a huge projection forward. And I think GCAC is an enormous part of this.
Greater Columbus Arts Council,
huge,
yes,
behind the
Shout
engine,
out.
The right. engine behind this. And thank you, Tom Katzenmeyer. So there's a lot that's happening, and it's starting to happen in not just the art sector, but the business sector, I think, is seeing how its attachment to the arts community is helping it too, how it's all starting to become its own circle. And that's going to change a lot of things around
But also,
here.
I think, too, the local audience's expectations are rising and rising and rising, which is a challenge for both of you and all your organizations to keep
right.
up with those expectations. So I think, in a way, that's kind of a very good kind of a heat going on.
Right.
I don't know if you agree with that, but I think the audience are becoming more...
Well, they're becoming smarter and smarter as the universities and colleges and this community continue to generate smart
people.
Young people
who stay here when they graduate,
here.
Yeah,
because it's the quality of life is great here. The right. vibrancy of downtown is great, and mm-hmm. so they're actually a big part of that drive. However, we don't necessarily know how to talk to them, and how to make sure that they get in the car with us, and so because they behave differently.
Well, I think is it because that they don't plan ahead, they don't commit ahead. Things
That's
with
one
them
of
are very
That's low, one of the things.
There is a new dynamic in terms of young millennial audiences.
Young audiences.
It's
yeah,
a very different.
Audiences.
It's very instantaneous. It's very on the moment, and you know you can probably talk about this better than anybody. But
sure,
it's
sure.
You know that they're making decisions the way they do things in their phones. You know,
right.
It's happening. Oh, it came in. Oh, I'm going. You know.
Social
oh, let's
media.
Go out. Let's go in. Yeah, it's all immediate. And so that thing of planning a season and selling season tickets and all that kind of thing, that gets much trickier. And your sort of
well, you have to
your
really
mobility
look at,
on that, yeah. I mean, your idea there is great, you know, and your sort of facileness with that concept. So it's an interesting time. I think it's a super dynamic time. I think we have to be facile and nimble and reactive, and that's artists are good at that.
Yeah.
And that's what our life is.
What we're looking for is a time when people will say, "What's playing at CATCO this weekend?" Not "Does CATCO have a show up?"
Right.
That's,
so I want to go really see CATCO. I want to see what.
Right,
I'm curious.
And there's always something going.
Right.
That's mm-hmm. really the piece that I think has to happen. And we also look at the calendar and say, mm-hmm. you know, here's the election. What? Try to figure out. No. Or,
right.
Or whatever. You know what?
Or the football game, or whatever it is going
right.
to be.
How do we weave ourselves into the fabric of both entertainment and daily life?
And review for us your first your show about God, which does reference politics.
Yeah,
you
and,
can just
and
be general.
God,
you don't. I'm
really.
Not asking you to take sides here. I'm just,
yeah.
We're getting on the edge of danger here.
Yeah, really. No. The notion is that God comes to Earth in a sort of talk show formula with two angels to put the world straight on what it is He means. And he has, in fact, edited the Ten Commandments.
So he doesn't go on Oprah.
He is Oprah.
He is Oprah. He's God, right? Yeah. So. So he's edited the Ten Commandments. I see. Yeah.
It is great fun, and there is audience participation, and you know, at one point the one of the audience members says, why do bad things happen to good people? And he says, well, why do good things happen to bad people? It just happens.
Don't ask stupid questions for crying out loud.
So at any rate.
So this is your chance to really talk to God. You have to go to CATCO.
You have to
right?
come to CATCO.
Right. Okay. From mine. And Tim Veachin, I have moments left. Give me what's going on with you as you gear up for a new season in the fall.
We have a really exciting year. It's called Courageous. And it opens with the company members doing Dancers Making Dances, which is a really wonderful part of our
season.
Is that
the one with the kids? I went to one of those.
Great. That's coming up in 2 weeks. We have a choreography workshop. Okay. Joe's participating in that along with about a dozen other students. And that choreography showcase will come up. I'll let you know about
write
that.
Write me down for that. Right. Yeah. Tell me what that is. Tell what that is.
That's in 2 weeks and I don't know the date, but it's a Friday. It's not this next Friday, but the Friday after will be a showcase of young choreographers that have taken a workshop for 2 weeks showing their work and open to the community. It's free. Really always very exciting. And that's part of the school. The company will start with Dancers Making Dances, then go on to Match Girl. We're bringing back a production called Courage that I had done a number of years ago featuring our dancer Seth Wilson. It deals with hate speech and language and race. And Seth is the centerpiece of that. He's quite brilliant in it. It was quite an event when we did it. And now with everything happening politically with all of that in the culture, I can't quite believe we had decided to bring this production back, 9 months ago. And now with everything that's happening, in America.
Timely.
It is shockingly so. So that's coming up in the spring along with we're doing a production of The Three Musketeers, a brand new ballet based on The Three Musketeers, which is going to be fun.
Listen, go see CatCo and the Columbus Dance Theater. Never mind what they're doing, because it's going to be wonderful, whatever they're doing. Just get tickets and go. They're all online. They're easy to find. They're all over social media. They all have Facebook pages. And I say the same thing for the Symphony and the Opera and Pro Musica and everybody else. They're all, they've long proved themselves, and they just get stronger. And if you arbitrarily just go one night, you're going to be blown away, and you're going to go back. How's that for a finish?
That's an awesome finish.
Okay. I'm Christopher Purdy. This is All Sides Weekend. I do thank Stephen Anderson, a dear friend I hadn't seen for a while. He's back with us, the artistic director of CatGo, with a naughty and provocative and brilliant season coming up. And Tim Veach, thank you, artistic director and founder of the Columbus Dance Theater. And Joseph Finkley, thank you.
Thank you, sir.
We expect great things from you. We know you'll have them. We will be back in 90 seconds with Janet Chen from Pro Musica Chamber Orchestra and the orchestra's conductor David Dansmeyer. Don't go away. That is Pro Musica, the Pro Musica Chamber Orchestra playing music of Beethoven from the Seventh Symphony. And we don't have Beethoven here, but we do have David Dansmeyer, who is the music director and conductor of the Pro Musica Chamber Orchestra. We couldn't get Beethoven, but he said to get David Dansmeyer. So David is here with us today. Thank you very much and welcome.
Thank you.
And Janet Chen is the executive director of Pro Musica, two of my favorite people here, two of my favorite people in music and not in music in Columbus. And one of the reasons I wanted to have you in is you just began last night a new idea of outdoor concerts for Pro Musica. Talk to me, Janet Chen.
Yeah, so we've been doing our summer music series for the past 4 years, and for our fifth year this year, we've moved it to the Topiary Park. And we've just really enjoyed sharing the music with the Franklin Park community and decided we could mix it up and spread the love. And the Topiary Park is not very well known, I think, in Columbus.
No, we have to say this is to the rear of the newly renovated Columbus Library downtown.
Mm-hmm, right. Yeah. And we just found it to be a wonderfully intimate venue, which I think is really suited for the whole Pro Musica experience and being outdoors against the backdrop of the newly renovated library. And we've had a great time last night.
I know the library people, when they were here, were very excited about this collaboration with Pro Musica.
Yeah.
And in fact, they said, look out the back of our building, how it opens up onto the Topiary Park, and imagine Pro Musica playing there.
Yes.
So I think you have probably a marvelous new home that does them a lot of good, and hopefully you as well.
Yeah.
David Dansmeyer, how do you like conducting outdoors in a topiary garden, and what kind of music are you going to be giving us? Because you have concerts Saturday and Sunday.
Yes, yeah, two more.
Right? Yes. Mm-hmm.
So Saturday is Beethoven, coming back to him. I think my haircut looks a little bit like Beethoven's, which the listeners can't see, obviously. But,
we're doing
Beethoven 7 on Saturday as a main piece. And then our cello group, the four cellos, they are doing a piece by Fitzenhagen, a wonderful cello piece that you are basically not able to hear. I didn't even find a recording of the piece, to be honest. So it's a beautiful piece, and we are opening with Piazzolla. So that's going to be a very exciting, very kind of like high energy program.
Buenos Aires and Vienna. Oh, that's great. In the February Garden. Wonderful. Yes. That's a hot one. And then on Sunday.
And then on Sunday, it's back to my hometown, Salzburg, for a full Mozart program. It's something that I wouldn't have thought I would most probably ever do, a program full of Mozart only. But with Pramusica, it's just such a wonderful orchestra, and it's so much fun to work with them that I was bullied into that, I think, by Janet most probably.
Well, you were born in Salzburg, and so was Mozart. Is that because, so are you tired of Mozart?
No,
enough,
I'm
enough
not tired
you?
At all. No, it's interesting. I'm not tired of all. I think when you grow up in Salzburg, you just get this huge respect because, I mean, in a kind of way, I always say there is the worst Mozart played in Salzburg and the best Mozart played, you know, and let's forget about the worst Mozart played, which is true. I mean, you know, since there is so much demand for Mozart, you know, everybody plays Mozart on every corner, and some of it is just simply not good. But
you can buy the candies, and you can
yes,
buy
yes, exactly.
You have
the Mozart
have
candies,
the toilet paper,
and you know,
and they
everywhere.
Have the
I mean,
towels.
If some students play on the castle, they will play Mozart, and they will maybe be badly rehearsed or so. So you get some of that, but at the same time, you grew up with a lot of respect for that music, and of course, me coming from Salzburg, I guess people expect me to know a half about what I'm doing, you know, so I feel a little bit pressure always when I'm doing Mozart. But like I said, with Pramusica, it flows easily.
What Mozart are you going to play on Sunday night?
It's Symphony No. 29, which I... Not the small G minor, the A major.
Excuse me, I'll write that down. Okay.
Anyway, it's one of these beautiful, like, but it's the same time period. So one of these kind of like middle time period symphonies, which are wonderful. And Donna Connaughty, our principal oboe, will play Oboe Concerto. And we're doing one of the divertimentos.
Salzburg. Yeah.
Did you just move to Columbus?
Yeah, that's true. That's
true. Terrific.
Yes. I mean, officially to Worthington, the postcode. But,
but
yeah,
you are,
Columbus,
but you're
yes.
getting there. Yes.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
And you are married to an opera singer.
I'm married to an opera singer. Yeah,
I once lived with an opera singer. Oi! But when I lived with her, you weren't born yet. But anyway, well, good for you. And you have two children. Right?
Two children. Yeah.
So they will. How are they doing? Settling in new schools.
They're
new
doing
life?
Fine. You know, we are very lucky. We have wonderful neighbors, like the best neighbors in the world, and they have children the same age as ours. So the children are extremely happy, and they will start school. Next week, I don't know, Wednesday, I think next week or so. So, and they're looking forward. America has one really great system in schools, and that is that teachers and school children are, you know, mixed up every year. So my kids knew they would go anywhere with different kids into a different class with a different teacher. So moving is not such a big deal. It's great.
That's great for them.
Yeah. It's great for them, yeah.
Janet Chen, I know that on your bucket list was get him to move here. and he had commitments with other orchestras, and he's conducting a lot in other cities, mm-hmm. but you did it. You got him to move
here. Well, you know, we're just so happy to have him here in Columbus. But really, I think, you know, it was just very natural progression. And I think, I don't know, I don't want to speak for David, but I feel that there's a connection to ProMusica and a love for the community.
I've been in the audience and felt the love going back to him.
Yes.
I'm quite sincere. In the Southern Theater during your sort of main stage season concerts and outdoors as well.
Yeah.
I found that as well.
Definitely.
So we have concerts Saturday night, tomorrow night.
Tomorrow night and Sunday.
And Sunday night in the Topiary Garden. Mm-hmm. That is right behind the main library downtown.
It is.
What time should people be there?
8 o'clock is when the concert starts. So, but you can arrive as early as 7 with your picnics. There'll be ice cream for sale and wine and beer for sale. So just to take
but
in
the music
the,
is free.
The music is free. Yeah.
That is incredible. That is an incredible gift to the community. Yeah. Now, so, okay, folks. So you're going to go sit and have this great concert outdoors in a beautiful space. And now your next job is to buy tickets. So let's sell some tickets for the Southern Theater.
Yeah,
give us some highlights of what's coming up.
That's coming up. David, you want to
One of the highlights that's coming up for me, you know, very, very particular because it was a project that I was kind of like, you know, trying to get to Columbus for quite a while is Naked Classics with Paul Rissman, and it's as exciting as it sounds. Yeah, it's as exciting as
Stop
it sounds.
It. Stop that.
Stop that. But, you know, in all honesty, it's a very special project. Paul Risman works with the London Symphony Orchestra.
Paul Risman, yeah.
Okay. He's Scottish. I met him in Scotland. He's a presenter. But basically all the presenters in Europe, like every good presenter in Europe, went through his school. So he's like the guru of the gurus in a kind
now,
of
when
way.
When you say presenter, what do you mean? What do you mean?
So
you
what
that?
He's doing, so that the concept is that in the first half, so we take a piece of music, let's say a Beethoven symphony. And in the second half, we just play the piece. But in the first half, what Paul is doing is he's going through the piece. He has PowerPoint. He's an incredible speaker. He's incredibly funny, actually. So it's not kind of a dry education event. It's just like a comedy while at the same time you learn a lot. I always learn. I mean, I'm the conductor and I always learn from Paul. And so he goes through the piece and we play excerpts and he shows a little bit about the orchestra and he goes into the mind of the composer. That's where the naked comes from. He bears the music naked, basically, for you.
Sometimes you can use some of the letters the composers wrote and then you realize you can't read them in public.
That's very true.
Certainly can't read them on
that's
the radio. Even 200 years later, you really can't read them.
Definitely not the ones that Mozart wrote. Right. Yes, definitely not.
Maybe a little bit too.
But basically, he gives this insight into the mind of the composer, but he does it in a way. He's just a natural gifted person for that. He is a natural gifted presenter.
So if you want to know what all this stuff is about with music and all the brouhaha, this is something you should check out.
Absolutely. Yes, and it's because it's new. So we're doing two. The first one is in October and the second one is in April.
So the first one is Beethoven?
It's Beethoven 6, yeah,
and
in
then
October.
And then actually Schubert 10.
Yeah.
Wow.
Which is basically, I didn't know that it exists. I have to give credit to our wonderful principal cellist, Mark Moskowitz, who said to me, David, you should check this out.
Yeah.
He knows everything,
smart,
right? Yeah. That's the thing. He's just such a smart person. He said, like, well, you should check out Schubert 10. And I thought he made a joke. I was like, haha. And then I listened to it. And so he wrote the whole piece for a piano particello. And then Brian Newbold, who is like one of the most famous Schubert scholars, he orchestrated it in the style of Schubert, like how Schubert most probably would have done it. So the music is really by Schubert and then written for orchestra by Brian Newbold. But it's an unbelievable piece. It's really, I would not do it if I would
be like... So it's a local premiere. It'll be a premiere.
Yes, definitely.
So basically, you know, diving into how it was reconstructed.
Exactly. So Paul on Naked Classics will dive into the process of reconstructing it, how it was kind of like written, how composers write, why it was written for the piano, and then somebody else had to
orchestrate it. And it cries out, make a recording, too. It does cry out.
I don't want to spoil anything, like we say, right? But it does cry out to
just
make a recording.
I'm just throwing that out there. It does cry out, make a recording. Somebody with a checkbook, make a recording. So what's opening night?
So opening night, we are actually opening with a fantastic guitarist, which we have not done in quite a while. His name is Agnello Desidero. And David's worked with him before. He'll be coming in and doing two pieces, the Rodrigo famous concerto. And a contemporary by Brower.
Leo Brower, the Cuban composer.
So he'll be featured on those two pieces. And if you watch him, hear him play, it's like guitar, Olympic guitarist.
He's really special, isn't he?
He's
one of these real musicians, you know. The way he touches the guitar is really like not just, I mean, he's extremely virtuosic as well, but I mean, just the intensity of sound is,
you know, I can't say this about every single arts organization I've ever encountered, but Pro Musica is never dull. Seriously, you're never people go to your concerts, and I don't know if they're first timers or they're you know, devotees, but nobody, it's not possible to be bored. It just isn't possible.
I think that's a huge compliment. I'm very happy to
it's
you
true.
Feel that way.
I'm quite sincere.
I think it's actually what we're really trying to do.
But
I mean,
that's a programming
really
issue too as well. I mean, you're bringing a lot of blood and passion to these
There's a lot of blood and passion. A lot of heart.
What is the music, David, since you're here, living here now, and we're going to see and hear more of you, thankfully. What is the music closest to your heart?
Well, I mean, that's difficult to say. There is a couple of composers that are very close to my heart, and it doesn't only limit itself to classical music.
Good.
For example, sometimes when I sit on the plane, I owned that as you know, before the album, but I rebought it for the, you know, on a digital download from the Beatles, the Abbey Road album, which is my favorite album. And I started to listen to it on the plane, and I just couldn't stop listening. It was like hilarious because it was like overseas, an 8-hour plane journey. So I kind of like I had it on loop. Just couldn't stop listening to it. I think any music that is really, really great and passionate and kind of like from the heart music. I just like music. Doesn't matter if it's classical music, contemporary music, pop music, or whatever. I like artists who make music from the heart and not to construct it. You know, intellect is, of course, part of it. You know, you have to kind of like make it happen. But music that tends to touch me is music that has something to say. And I think that's one of the reasons, most probably, why Pro Musica is not boring, because I think our musicians in the orchestra are like that. You know, yeah. They make music from the heart. That's what binds us together, right?
Well, but they're also they. I think they are all people who would, even if they weren't players, they would be going to concerts anyway. I mean, they are people who are absorbing, who are soaking up music, no matter if they can make it or not. You know,
We're in love with music.
They're in love with music. Everybody there is the same. And I know, Janet, you're a musician. I mean, you had a career as a performer as well as an administrator, so it's certainly doubly for you. So we have the Great Guitar Program in October.
Yep.
Then give me some highlights.
Sure.
What else is coming up?
So we've also got Carnival of the Animals.
Oh.
Two piano in November. And Dee Wu, who actually played with us a number of years ago, is returning along with a colleague of mine from my days at Oberlin, Spencer Meyer. He's actually performed with Chamber Music Columbus here. So we've got that.
I'm actually very excited about December, because first of all, we're working together with the Lancaster Chorale again.
Good.
Which is great. You know, they did such a great job on the Mozart C minor Mass.
They did,
and now
indeed.
We're together. And Janet let me do one of the pieces I was dreaming about doing, Saint-Saëns Christmas Oratorio. We're also doing Handel Messiah, part of Messiah.
The Saint-Saëns Christmas
Oratorio. We're doing the Saint-Saëns Christmas Oratorio.
Which is never
done.
It's
never
done,
and it's a piece of beauty, and it's just so lovely. Yeah.
And it really adapts itself well for a community chorus and large choruses, and I think it was probably intended for that.
I think most probably. And we are doing it in the Worthington Methodist Church, and we are doing it in the Southern Theater. And I'm really looking forward to bring this piece live to people, because I think...
It's not easy to hear it live.
I heard it live by chance, because my wife sang it, you know, a couple of years back in Salzburg, and she invited me, but... It's really done seldomly, so I'm extremely excited to do it.
Saint-Saëns also wrote The Carnival of the Animals.
He did.
A 19th century French composer with a very colorful private life. We won't go there. Very colorful.
A future Naked Classics.
Yeah, right. Exactly.
Right, yes. Yes, that's indeed.
That's
that would be wonderful.
Naked Classics for it.
Right.
But we're also excited for April, because we have another commission, which is, you know, obviously so true to our mission. And it's a continuation of this idea that David brought to life, the Composer-Performer Project. So we have a composer we worked with quite a bit, Lyra Auerbach, renowned. She is basically, we've commissioned her to kind of reorchestrate Mozart's flute and harp concerto for violin and piano. And she will be to be premiering it on the piano, and Katie McClinton, our concertmaster, will be doing it on the violin. So that will be a lot of fun.
That's what I mean
April.
By never boring.
I know. Mozart with a twist.
Even Mozart would say, "Oi, what? All right, why not? I'm getting royalties. I
don't
care what you do. Cut yourself out. That's just fun."
I think also in his time, they didn't take these things so narrowly, right?
No,
I mean, they had like with the oboe concert, the one they did a flutist, so he was like, "Okay, let's play."
Well, like at the operas, if the tenor had a cold, they just dropped the aria.
Exactly.
He wrote him something else, you know.
Yes, they wouldn't over-obsess about these things.
No, that's right. Yeah. And I think we could probably do
a little bit learn from that. Yeah.
We have 2 minutes left, and in the 2 minutes, I want to go back and just review what's happening this weekend in the Topiary Garden.
Sure.
You
yeah.
began there last night.
Yep.
Pro Musica is giving free concerts in the Topiary Garden. That's behind the main library downtown.
Saturday and Sunday at 8:00.
And you're playing on Saturday nights.
We're playing Beethoven 7, which is my favorite of the Beethoven symphonies, most probably, and on Sunday, on Piazzolla, and with the cello quartet, the Fitzenhagen piece. And on Sunday, we're playing the All Mozart program with Mozart 29, Oboe Concerto, and the Divertimento 136.
And it is free. Just show
it
up.
It is free.
Just show up.
The music begins at 8.
Yes.
You can bring picnics.
Yeah.
You
bring
can
picnics,
bring.
Yeah.
Can you bring your little seats, your little chairs?
Bring your chairs,
and, you know,
bring
blankets,
your blankets, bring your dogs.
And you will have imbibings for sale there.
Yes. Yeah. And they're about an hour long. So
and people can bring their kids and let the kids run around. I will bring my kids, and they will most probably not sit still.
We have kids activities at 7, so... Yeah. Yeah.
So, in fact, bring the entire family. Bring
entire
everybody
family.
To Pro Musica in the Topiary Garden Saturday and Sunday night. Bring a picnic and enjoy. And don't forget the main stage season, for lack of a better term, in the Southern Theater and in the Worthington Churches. You're all over the city now.
We are.
For a good time, call Pro Musica.
Yes.
I'm going to write that on walls everywhere.
Because, you know, tattoo it on.
Janet Chen is the executive director of Pro Musica Chamber Orchestra. Thank you, Janet.
Thank you,
and thank you for bringing with you David Donsmeyer. From
Zalzburg
University, conductor and music director of Pro Musica, to watch this guy conduct is to fall in love with him. I'm here to tell you, so go do it. I'm Christopher Purdy. This is All Sides Weekend on 89.7 NPR News. Thank you very much for my guests earlier, Tim Veach and Stephen Anderson. Thank you, Shaila Knott, for all your work keeping us on the straight and narrow. Thank you all for listening.